This is Getting to Know Your Bible, a program dedicated to the proclaiming of the good news of Jesus Christ. Here's Billy Lambert.
It is a genuine pleasure to be with you today on Getting to Know Your Bible. We certainly appreciate the fact that you've taken time to watch our telecast today, and we hope that you'll stay tuned. Today we're going to talk about pardon. Man's need of pardon. You know, just try to imagine a man on death row and what he's sitting there is thinking, you know, I hope someday I'll get a pardon. Well, he may or may not get one from the government, from the state, and he may not be spared from the death penalty. But there's a pardon that he can receive. The same that you and I can receive. And that's a pardon from God. We need that pardon. I'm Billy Lambert, and I'm the regular speaker on Getting to Know Your Bible. And I want you to know how much I appreciate the fact that you've taken time to tune in to watch our telecast today. And today on Getting to Know Your Bible, we're offering a free Bible correspondence course. And we want you to have that course in order that you might know more about it and how you can receive and use and study the Bible correspondence course. We're going to pause for just a moment.
To help you in your study of the Bible, we want to send you this Bible correspondence course. This course is non-denominational. It's based on the Bible. It's conducted by mail, and it's free. To receive this course, write to Getting to Know Your Bible, P.O. Box 314, Summerdale, Alabama, 36580. Or call toll-free 1-877-711-5214.
I want to read now from the 55th chapter of Isaiah, two passages of Scripture, verse 6 and verse 7. Seek the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, and He will have mercy upon him and to our God, for He will abundantly pardon. The man who has never accepted Jesus Christ through obedience to the gospel of Christ is under the power and penalty of sin. When Paul wrote to the church in Ephesus in the second chapter, verse 2, he said, or rather verse 1, he said, "And you hath He quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sin." There was a time before they became Christians that they were dead in their sins. But God has given the remedy for that. All that man must do is to accept the remedy. God wants to pardon us. We must accept the terms for the pardon. But so many people refuse to accept the pardon. Many people have turned their backs upon Jesus. Even when Jesus walked upon the earth, we're told in John 1, verse 11, that He came to His own, and His own received Him not. In Matthew chapter 21 and verse 42, we're told that, "Have you not read in the Scriptures, the stone which the builders rejected, the same has become the head of the corner?" People have turned their backs upon Jesus. But there are many people who have given their lives to Him and they have been pardoned from their sins. And God is the one who can do that pardoning. Just imagine this man is sitting on death row about to be electrocuted. And he's waiting, anxiously waiting, to hear from his attorney, because his attorney has approached the governor of the state to see if there can be a stay of execution. Or better yet, maybe because of some new evidence that has come to light, he knows that his client is not guilty of the crime for which he's about to be executed. Not only does the execution need to stop, he needs to be set free. Well, we can receive a pardon from God, but we need to do what God says in order to receive it. Now, there are several things that I want us to note in the two verses that I just read. And I'm going to use alliteration in discussing these because that might help us to remember some of the things that we're talking about. Now, the first thing we notice is the order. And here is the order, that is the command, seek the Lord. Seek the Lord. Seeking has always been connected with blessings that we receive from God. We must seek those blessings. Seeking has always been connected with man's salvation. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6 says, without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is the rewarder of all of them that diligently seek him. So if we're going to be saved, we must seek the Lord. We must seek him. Isaiah chapter 34 and verse 16 says, Seek the law of the Lord and read. We need to be seekers of the will of God. Jesus said, seek and you will find. I believe with all of my heart, that when an individual is an honest soul and they're seeking the truth of God, I believe that God will see to it that they find that truth. You know, Jesus said, ye shall know the truth and the truth will make you free. An example of a truth seeker is found in the 10th chapter of Acts, a man by the name of Cornelius. He was a good man. But Cornelius was lost, but he was seeking the truth. And the Apostle Peter came to the house of Cornelius, and he taught Cornelius and his household. Now, Cornelius was told, your prayers have gone up as a memorial before God. And he was further told, your prayer has been heard. What was that for which he was praying? We can know that for which he prayed by the answer to the prayer. And the answer to the prayer was for someone to come to his household and to teach him about Jesus. And Peter did so. So I believe that when a person is seeking the truth within the realm of God's divine providence, he will see to it that some way, somehow, they will find the truth of God. And so that's the reason some people never come to a saving knowledge of the truth. They don't want to. They're not seeking the truth. Maybe through their prejudice, their bias, their preconceived ideas, their minds have been shut. Someone has said that a man's mind is like a parachute, that it does not function properly unless it's open. Jesus in the 13th chapter of Matthew, verse 15, said, for this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, should understand with their heart and should be converted, and I should heal them. Jesus said some people will never come to a knowledge of the truth because they're not seeking the truth. So number one, there's the order. Seek the Lord. Secondly, there's the object. The Lord. Not just seek, but seek the Lord. Many people are seeking things that have no redeeming value whatsoever. Many are seeking material objects, material things. In Luke the 12th chapter and verse 15, Jesus said, take heed and beware of covetousness. For a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesses. Take heed and beware of covetousness. For a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesses. Now, following that, Jesus gave a parable about a rich farmer whose grounds brought forth plentifully, and they were so productive, he didn't have room in his barns to store all of his goods, so he just pulled down his barns, built greater barns. The man never thought about poor people that he could help with the abundance of produce that he had. He never thought about the widow down the road, just lost her husband with a house full of children to feed, that he could have helped. He was thinking about himself. He was thinking about his future. He'd laid up goods for many years. But the Lord came to him and said, "You're a foolish man. This night your soul is going to be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which you've provided?" But that's what a lot of people are seeking. They're seeking things. Some seek popularity. In John 12, among the chief rulers, many believed on him, but because of the Pharisees, they would not confess him, lest they be put out of the synagogue. Why would they not confess Jesus, even though they believed on him? Because they loved the praise of men more than they loved the praise of God. And so there are those that are looking for popularity today, and they're not seeking the Lord. They're seeking what they want. And there are those that are seeking pleasure today. Lovers of pleasure, Paul said, more than lovers of God in 2 Timothy 3 and verse 5. We, however, if we want pardon, we must seek. But we must seek the Lord. But before we must seek the Lord, we must give up our little gods in our lives. You know, God said, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me." In the 19th chapter of Matthew, there was a man that came running to Jesus. He was a young man. And he said, "Good Master, what shall I do that I might inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said, "There's only one that's good, and that's God." And he said, Why do you calling me that?" But he said, "What you need to do is keep the commandments." And then he said, "Which? Which of those commandments am I to keep?" Well, Jesus enumerated some of them, and the young man said, "I've done all that from my youth up. What lack I yet?" And Jesus said, "You take what you have and give it to the poor, and then you come and follow me." And you know what the Bible says about him in Matthew 19? He went away sorrowful. Why did he go away sorrowful from Jesus? He turned his back on Jesus because he had great possessions. Here was his problem. He bowed down to the God of gold rather than the God of heaven. And so if we seek the Lord, we've got to give up the little gods in our life. And man is lost today. And man needs to know the way. And the way is found by seeking the Lord. Now the third thing we want to note about these passages is the opportunity. Seek the Lord while he may be found. I couldn't begin to tell you how many people I've talked to about their souls over the years. And this is something that I've heard more than a little. "Well, Brother Lambert, I'm just not quite ready. I'm just not quite ready to live the Christian life. I'm not sure I can live that life." "Well, why are you not ready?" "Well, I'm just not ready." "Well, have you ever thought about that when you get ready, God may not be?" That's happened to people before. Solomon in the book of Proverbs, chapter 1, verse 24, said, "Because I have called and you refused. I stretched out my hand, but no man regarded. You have set at naught my counsel and would not of my reproof. Therefore, I will laugh at your calamities. I'll mock when your fear comes. When your fear comes of desolation, your destruction is a whirlwind. Then they shall call upon me, but I'll not answer. Then they will seek me early, but they shall not find me." How is it that people would get to the point that start seeking the Lord, but they're not finding him? Because when they had the opportunity to seek him, they did not. You see, you can wait till it's too late. You say, "I didn't think that was possible." Well, turn to the 25th chapter of Matthew, where Jesus talked about 10 virgins, 5 wise, 5 foolish. And the 5 wise virgins went out to meet the bridegroom, and they were prepared to meet the bride. They had oil in their lamps. They were all ready. But the foolish virgins did not go prepared to meet the bridegroom. At midnight, the cry was heard, "The bridegroom is coming. Go out to meet him." And the foolish virgin says, "Give us of your oil," speaking to the five wise virgins, "because our lamps are gone out." Well, they said, go buy for yourselves. And they said, while they went to buy oil, the bridegroom came and the door was shut. And then the foolish came and they were ready now to go in. They were ready to give their lives to the bridegroom, Christ. That's who the bride is represented by the bridegroom in this story. But the door was shut. They waited until it was too late to go. That's why the Bible says, seek him while he may be found. You may get so hardened in sin that you never give your life to Christ. That doesn't mean that you couldn't. But you may wait until it's too late. And there's been many a soul who sinned away the day of grace and died outside of Christ because they did not seek the Lord while he could be found. We need to give the Lord the best years of our life. We need to seek the Lord right now while we can find him. This is the opportune time to do it right now. Don't give the devil the best years of your life and then turn right around and give the Lord what's left over of it. Now, that's not to say that when you get older in life that it's not important for you to become a child of God. It is. But why not give him the best years of your life and spend your life trying to promote the cause of Christ, trying to help other people along life's way? That's the reason I believe the Bible teaches that young people ought to remember God in the days of their youth. Listen to Solomon in the 12th chapter of Ecclesiastes in verse number 1. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. What is Solomon telling us? Remember God in the days of your youth. Right now, in the days of your youth, you have the opportunity to live for Christ. And there are many young people that are doing so. I know a great host of young people that are living for Jesus Christ. Every year, during what is called the Easter weekend, there are young people in churches of Christ that meet in several cities across America. Orlando, Florida, Atlanta, Nashville, Tennessee, out in Texas, I think Dallas, Texas, and other places, even outside the United States, at a convention that is for young people called Lads to Leaders and Leaderettes program. And there will be thousands of young people, 20 or 25,000 young people come together to sing, to pray, to make speeches, to talk about Jesus. So there are a lot of good young people that have thought early in my life, I need to give my life to Christ. Bible camps are conducted every summer. Many young people give their lives to Jesus at those Bible camps. Vacation Bible schools have children coming from all around the community, even this very day. We've had telephone calls at the Summerdale Church from the local radio station because people are calling into the radio station, finding out details about our upcoming Vacation Bible School. You see, there are a lot of good young people in this land that have thought early in life, I need to give my attention to those things that are spiritual in nature. Do it while you have the opportunity. Give your life to Christ. Seek the Lord while he may be found. And then he says, there's the obligation, while he may be found, let the wicked forsake his way. You know, that's the most difficult part of the whole matter, isn't it? To forsake our ways. But he said, let the wicked forsake his way. Now, if I start comparing my ways, the ways of a lot of people in our modern world, my ways don't seem to be as wicked as you might think. For example, if I were to start comparing my life with the life of someone who is a mass murderer, who's gone out here with a gun or maybe a knife or some other means and killed a great number of people, and I start comparing my life to that person, I don't seem as bad as you might think. But what if I compare myself with Jesus, who was a man who lived without sin? My ways don't look so good. So regardless of where we are in life, we need to give up our sins if when we start seeking God. He said, let the wicked forsake his way. And that's difficult. And I think there are a lot of reasons that it's difficult. And it's because we like what we're doing. We in sin, there's certain pleasures in sin. Hebrews chapter 11, verses 24 and following. Moses chose to suffer with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, for a time. And so we need to let the wicked forsake his way. We let the crooked politician needs to forsake his sins and get right with God. You let the posing preacher who pretends to be concerned about the souls of men, but deep down inside he's doing what he's doing because it's padding his billfold. Let him forsake his way. Let the lukewarm church member forsake his lukewarmness. And let the promiscuous young person who engages in things that are in violation of the will of God. You are not living a good moral life. Forsake all of that. It's difficult because we enjoy what we're doing. But if we want to have that pardon, that's what we must do. And then finally, there's the offer. The Lord will not just pardon, He'll abundantly pardon. We have to give up our sins. The good moral person has to give his life, and he can have that pardon. The person who's a backslider, backslidden Christian can have pardon. The double-dealing Christian can have his sins pardoned. Well, how do I know I've been pardoned? What kind of evidence is there that God has pardoned me? Is a small, still voice in the night? Is it some dream that I have? Is it a feeling that I have? Do I repeat some kind of what so-called sinner's prayer? And is that evidence of my pardon? And the evidence of our pardon is when we obey the will of God. I want you to listen to Jesus. Now, this is Jesus talking to you and to me. In Matthew 7, verse 21, not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. But he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. But he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Folks, if I want to be pardoned, I've got to obey Jesus. It's just that simple. Hebrews 5, 8 and 9 tells us that he is the author of eternal salvation unto all of them that obey him. He will not just pardon us, he will abundantly pardon us. He will take our sins and he will remove us, those sins from us as far as east is from the west. Psalms 103 and verse 12. He will take our sins and cast them as it were into the depths of the sea. Micah chapter 7 and verse 19. He will abundantly pardon. Then we can live the abundant life. John 10 and verse 10. Have you given your life to Jesus? Do you believe in Him with all of your heart? Are you willing to repent of your sins, confess your faith in Him, and to be baptized into Christ for the remission of those sins? If you'll do that, He will pardon you, and He will forgive all of your sins, not some of them. Here's the thing about God's forgiveness. He is so unlike we are. We say, I forgive you, but then really deep down inside, I still think about it. That's not God. God says that I will be merciful to their unrighteousness and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. When God forgives you, and if in the next moment you were to say, now, Lord, what about that sin I committed back there on the 3rd of July about 1978? God said, I don't know anything about that. That's been removed. That's forgiven. You see, God is a wonderful God, isn't He? He's a God who says, I love you, and I want to help you, and I want to pardon you. And I want to thank you for taking the time to listen today to this lesson, because who needs to be pardoned? All of us. All of us need to be pardoned of our sins, because there's none that doeth good, no, not one, Romans 3, verse 10. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, Romans 3, verse 23. And the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord, Romans 6 and 23. And it was because the marvelous love of God that He sent Jesus into this world to die upon the cross of Calvary, that you and I might have our sins forgiven or pardoned. He will abundantly pardon. Are you weighted down with the guilt of sin today? Do you think about that sin? You just can't get it out of your mind? I want you to know Jesus is speaking to your heart when He says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. I will give you pardon. But you've got to turn it over to Him. Your life must be given to Him. Not part of your life, but all of your life. Your heart, your soul, your mind, your body must be given to Him for obedience to His will. Jesus said, he that believes is baptized shall be saved. That is pardon. I want to thank you for watching Getting to Know Your Bible today. In the closing moments, may I give you a personal invitation to visit the Church of Christ in your community. Please do that. If you're not certain where it's located, call us. We'll give you that information. And right now, pick up the telephone, call for the free Bible correspondence course. Do that without delay. And until we meet again, may the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you, is my prayer.
Getting to Know Your Bible has been presented by Churches of Christ. If you have a question about the church, or if you would like the location of a Church of Christ near you, or to receive the free Bible course, write to Getting to Know Your Bible, P.O. Box 314, Summerdale, Alabama 36580. Or call 1-877-711-5214. Join us next time for Getting to Know Your Bible.